Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
So is this what rock bottom looks like? Is this rock bottom? Is this what the depths of despair look like?
Talk to me Friday morning, and I'll tell you if this is rock bottom.
Good point. Good point. Got our own version of the toilet bowl coming up on...
It's the Trevor Lawrence bowl.
Could be the Trevor Lawrence bowl. It absolutely could be. Wow. Well, you were there. You saw it. Great call last night, yesterday afternoon. We'll get more about into the broadcast as we go along. You had some great moments, including extending the smear campaign. Man, you delivered. Boy, did you deliver.
Boy, it got a little tight, too. That got a little tight, Mike.
No, I had a feeling. I was thinking about when it would happen, because I knew you'd do it. I knew you'd follow
through.
Well,
no, I mean, of course I was going to do it, but what it got was it, like, fell on, like, you always have these things, these pre-produced little pieces, right? And so we had the eight different quarterbacks since the Super Bowl. And we're getting down and they're going to move into ripping territory. And so I get on the talk back to my producer. I go, hey, you know, now would be a really good time to do that eight quarterback thing. He's like, oh yeah, great idea. I almost forgot about that. Great. We'll do that. So then we get the eight, you know, we get a break to do it and we get the eight quarterback thing in there. And then Adam is talking about whatever. And I'm like, hurry up and get done with your point so I can smear Paxton. Like, would you shut up so I can smear him? Let's go.
I got to deliver on a promise here.
Right, I got a promise that I got to deliver.
I
got
to take care of our listeners.
And then I don't even remember. I mean, I don't ever plan anything. It just kind of falls out of my mouth. So, I said something about video games.
Yeah, it says, I think you started more. Well, do we have it? Let's hear it.
All those guys on there, first rounder Paxton Lynch, and he started more video games than he started games for the Broncos.
That's just mean.
But it got extended.
Yes, it did.
And so in honor of Mark extending the smear campaign during the broadcast, that counts. That's a twofer. That counts for today, too.
Yeah. There you go, guys. You're welcome, Denver, Colorado. You are welcome.
2067. Well, well done. Well, is this rock bottom? Is this, since this thing started to trend the wrong way, following a 4-0 start the year after the Super Bowl, is this rock bottom?
But if it's not, it's close. I mean, you think about this now. I think this is the first time, I believe, we had this note and we may have to check on this, but this is the first time in the history of the Denver Broncos they've had back-to-back seasons that started 0-3.
Right.
In the history.
Right.
This means as long as they've been in existence, first time, this is going to be now, because the playoffs are, that's a pipe dream. I mean, you are not even close to being good enough. You're not going to win games. You're not going to compete for the playoffs.
No.
So
struggling.
I mean, when you think about this is going to be half a decade, Mike, the Denver Broncos, half a decade without sniffing the playoffs. Let that sink in. It's bad. They improved on their pass pro. They only gave up six sacks yesterday as opposed to seven. And I think they cut their quarterback hits from 19 down to about 10 or 11. So, I mean, it's pathetic.
Is it talent or poor coaching? And don't give me a little bit of both. What is the main reason why this franchise is making negative history?
Well, it's just absolute lack of line of scrimmage talent. You can sit there and say, hey, your coach isn't putting you in a position and this, that, and the other. And probably some of that is true, but, you know, we had the victory tour here after the draft. I mean, honestly, you know, everybody was excited about the speed. What did I tell you? If you can't block people, I don't care how much speed you have. People were comparing, you know, people had the audacity to compare this team to the Kansas City Chiefs. People within that organization. Hey, you know, with the Chiefs, we're going to have to get into a scoring battle, you know? It's like a battle of wits. It's like right out of The Princess Bride. Never get involved with the Sicilian when death is on the line. Right? I mean, it are you kidding me? You think speed is going to get it done when you can't block people? I can't believe you even fell for the banana in the tailpipe. I mean, the fact that I understand fans getting excited about that and thinking that that was going to be a difference maker. But NFL people thinking that that's going to be the difference maker? I mean, it's sad.
Well, if they've hit rock bottom, they've hit rock bottom because of this front office.
Yes.
They've hit rock bottom because of a John Elway-led front office. You have to stop defending the indefensible. And you got to stop with this silly nonsense that, oh, Evans, you just hate Elway. Come on, I don't hate Elway. It's always been about talking and assessing job performance. And come on, folks, even the most diehard of you that have hung in there saying, no, nope, nope, it's not Elway. Come on. I mean, if this is rock bottom, and it's certainly been trending this way for several years, who else are you going to put this on? Who else? It absolutely rests with him.
Sure.
So, now what do you do? Now what do you do?
I will tell you this, Mike. There will be a lot of people that will make excuses about, well, we lost Von Miller. He's our best defensive player.
Mark, I don't hear about injuries. Look what San Francisco. San Francisco got hit with injuries just as much or maybe even more than the Broncos have.
Yeah.
They went out and won 36-9 yesterday.
Right.
Now, you could say, well, it was the Giants. You think the Broncos could beat the Giants right now, 36-9? I don't.
I am telling you that, and that's exactly where I was going. There will be a lot of people that will make excuses because of the injuries. I don't feel sorry for them. I have told you now for back to back years, their roster isn't deep enough. They haven't developed enough players. They haven't drafted well enough. They haven't done any of that well enough to overcome injuries. And then when they do have a weakness, offensive line play, they don't go out and fix it through free agency, through a trade, when there are people available and you do have cap space. You rely on the fact that, hey, honestly, we're not that bad. Like, are you just reading Pro Football Focus? Like, are you reading Pro Football Focus and go, hey, it turns out we're pretty good. Look what Pro Football Focus said. Are you actually using your eyes? It's like a general manager in baseball that just looks at numbers from Rapsodo or TrackMan reports and go, ha, this guy's good. And then you get him and he's got a 14 ERA and you're like, huh, weird. He can't get anybody out.
Want your reaction to the game? Where they're at, where they go from here? RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Coming up, was this Shaq Barrett's revenge? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Another third and long. Driscoll maneuvering and wrapped up. That ball came out loose. If he's ruled down, it's a safety. And indeed, it is a sack for Shaquille Barrett and 2 points on the board from the Bucks defense. Second sack for Shaq today.
Shaq Barrett's revenge. Here's Shaq Barrett's line yesterday.
He had six tackles, two sacks, three tackles for loss, two quarterback hits. Yeah, he was a holy terror.
I tell you what, he's, you know, it's funny because when, yeah, I get, this is back-to-back Tampa games I've called, right? So I've done some Tampa radio, and it was interesting because if you don't get sacks, people don't realize what you're doing. And so they were like, hey, Shaq Barrett, you know, he had 19 and a half sacks last year. Where's he at? Like, he hasn't gotten a sack yet. And I'm like, if you put on the film, Shaq Barrett is playing his butt off. His edge presence, his understanding, his ability to set an edge and get a running back or a quarterback to turn back inside. He's just been phenomenal. And the one thing about him that, that people don't really understand is he's 19 and a half sacks. Todd Bowles, their defense coordinator, told me he's our best outside linebacker as far as a dropper and coverage guy, too. And so he does everything exceptionally well. And you knew it was, I mean, it was personal to him to come back here and to put it on the Broncos. And he certainly did it. He certainly lived up to it. A lot of times you get that opportunity and, you know, you have a quiet game or whatever. He came out there. He was completely motivated. And, you know, and he showed up, man. He played great.
You'll know where I'm going with this. Here's Bradley Chubb after the game talking about Shaq Barrett.
Shaq is one of the best edge rushers in this league, man. I'm just proud of everything he did. He was there in the room my rookie year, and he was always supportive of me. And I'm glad to see him doing what he's doing now.
Okay. With Shaq doing what he's doing, with Chubb struggling to come back from his knee injury, it raises – it's a armchair quarterback 2020 hindsight delight. The idea that the Broncos screwed up by A, not recognizing what they had in Shaq Barrett, and B, going out and drafting Bradley Chubb instead of Quentin Nelson or instead of Josh Allen or Josh Rosen, who was also available.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's easy to look back and say, wow, what a mistake. And had we just given Shaq the opportunity to do that, could he have been doing that for us? And, you know, the answer is yes. But again, it comes down to how do you manage your football team? How proactive are you in getting guys re-signed, recognizing their talent and paying them for it? And that has been something if, you know, I mean, there's, plenty of criticism to go around when you're talking about the job they have done in the front office. But that has been one of the issues with this front office is we've had one first rounder that this is more about first rounders, one first rounder who's seen a second contract since 2011. So that's an indictment on the guys you're picking and the fact that you're not getting players developed. We've had second round, third round busts galore and a guy who does come in and does play exceptionally well and does show flashes when given the opportunity, you decide that that's not a guy you need when Von Miller is aging and everything else is going on and DeMarcus Ware is going to leave and you knew the value of edge rushers. Come on. They're a cornerstone position in the NFL, edge rusher. It's offensive tackle. It's edge rusher, it's cover corner, it's quarterback, right? And it's big-time playmaker outside of the wide receiver, although that would be the very smallest pillar out there to be. Those are the cornerstone positions. And you had a edge rusher that you saw for years, and you just didn't value him enough to give him the opportunity. And listen, it's easy now because – hindsight's always 20/20, Mike, so it's easy now, but it's still one of those things. You're there every day. You should know. You should know.
Time for our injury report presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. A couple of notes. We had Mike Kliss on during our pregame show yesterday, D-Mac and I, and I asked him why Drew Lock inactive but not put on IR. And he said the belief is, the hope is that he could be back by that New England game in a couple of weeks. So that's one update there for Drew Lock.
And the other said Philip Lindsay is very close, could possibly even suit up by Thursday. So that's our injury report presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. Here comes the morning brew. Much more reaction from the Broncos. Well, I was going to say locker room, Zoom room. Come on and Zoom. And where do the Nuggets go from here after their season ended Saturday night? That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
This guy's on their first rounder, Paxton Lynch. And he started more video games than he started games for the Broncos.
Just brilliant.
It's just mean.
Just mean, but hey. Somebody said the other day, remember, oh, stop bullying. No. This is pro sports. These are guys in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
He was a first-round draft pick. He squandered.
He's a first-round bust.
He squandered a unbelievable God-given talent. He squandered it. So I don't. Yeah. I'm not going to victimize Peyton Paxton Lynch. That's for sure. All right, the Broncos offense. Oof. Who should be the quarterback on Thursday? It's actually the subject of our fan poll. You can vote at 104.3 The Fan on Twitter.
Should put John back there. Make him play quarterback behind that rack.
No.
Could he do any worse?
I used to have a coach. This is dead serious. And that if we played poorly, He'd want to make us stand back there and get shots from the D-line. See what your quarterback feels like. You don't block him. Here's what it feels like. To get squared up in the back with a helmet from a dude running from 6 yards.
I thought you made a very good point. I wrote it down, actually. That was a twist. I actually copied something from you.
Right. I know. That doesn't happen very often,
but
right?
But you said this
I wrote
is
a
on-
blog.
This is on Pat Shurmur, because if you consistently put your offense in a position to fail,
right?
By the way, you're calling plays and designing your offense, then that's your fault.
Don't be surprised when they fail, right? Yeah, if you put them in a position to lose, then don't act surprised when they lose. It is. I understand what you're trying to do, and you're somewhat of a dilemma because, you know, if you want to go big, if you want to go big personnel, the way Tampa plays, you did play in a five down front, and you can't hold up there either. So, you know, you can't hold up in spread, you can't hold up in big. Guess what you can't do? You can't play. And, you know, I mean, that one time they got in a really big formation and then where pass rush was on, your center, Cushenberry Lloyd, you know, the guy that wasn't going to have any issues that you told me about, was a turnstile against Vita Vea.
You're not going to let me forget
sack.
That one.
No, I am
are
not.
You?
I am not.
No, okay. Next on the Morning Brew.
Well, it's an area that we definitely need to improve on for sure. I think the guys are rushing hard, rushing as good as they can. You know, we just got to find a way to improve it a little bit more.
I'd say they need to improve it more than a little. Vic Fangio's defense. All the talk about Tom Brady being washed up, he looked fine to me. Give him a chance to stand back there. No real pressure. He can still carve you up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he...
And then Gronk, who was invisible. Hey, need your season or your career revived? Play the Broncos.
Gronk was one of those that was interesting to me because of all the time he spent off, and then he, you know, Brady talked him to come back. You got to put on weight. You got to get yourself in football shape. It doesn't happen any other way than playing football. And I think that's what you've seen is you've seen Gronk kind of almost having Troy Tulowitzki legs. He's got Tulowitzki legs. And, you know, the Broncos ended up rejuvenating his Tulowitzki legs. Yeah. So he was back.
No turnovers. No turnovers forced by the Broncos.
Mm-mm.
Two sacks.
And Bradley
Chubb. A guy who can't move.
By the way, Bradley Chubb, too. I just you know, I mean, you know me, I deep dive into it. Bradley is not close.
What's he playing at right now, would you say? What percentage?
I would say from
60?
Yeah,
70?
From an explosiveness standpoint, like 60%. It just, like, he lacks the initial get off, then he doesn't have the explosiveness to turn a corner, and then when he engages in people, Mike, it's just like Velcro. He just gets stuck on them because he doesn't have the ability to shed, like, to plant a leg and shed them. You can just see it mentally and physically. He's not there yet. And, you know, hopefully, and I will tell you, in my own career, after I tore an ACL, I was not a very good football player for quite some time until I moved from defense back to offense. And that was kind of the catalytic event that got me comfortable or confident that I could still play, that my body could hold up.
Next on the Morning Brew.
What more could you ask from a group? You know, what more commitment, sacrifice, just everything in the last 82 days that our team has gone through, the history that we've made, the adversity that we've faced and never ran from, embraced it. And we use this as motivation to come back even better and not be satisfied with making the Western Conference Finals. Our goal still remains to win a championship.
Michael Malone. Michael Malone.
I can't forget we're not in love anymore.
Too bad we can't talk about Michael Malone for a while.
I know.
82 days. Actually, I hadn't thought about it that way. 82 days they spent in the bubble? Wow. An incredible run. Western Conference Finals. It ended Saturday. They lose to the better team. You know, let's not make it about anything else other than when you lose in five games in a best of seven, you lost to the better team.
It's been activated.
Okay, let's not make any other excuses.
Right.
That you lost to the better team. Now the question is, where do you go from here? To me, Mark, there is one monster question.
Yeah.
That this whole offseason's about.
Okay.
You got to decide. You got to decide. Is Michael Porter Jr., are you going to commit to Michael Porter Jr. and give him every opportunity to be that third guy that they desperately need? If we learned anything about this playoff run, they just do not have a proven third guy. So is it Michael Porter Jr.? Do you put all your eggs in Michael Porter Jr.'s basket? Or do you try to go out and make another big move, free agency, trade, whatever, to get a proven third guy, shooter?
Like a Millsap?
No, not a Millsap.
Well, that was the thought process when they gave that money to Millsap.
Yes, it was. And that did not work. So
I think it is. Michael Porter Jr. showed a couple of things. He's got a smooth stroke. He's an unbelievable athlete. And occasionally, he can play some defense.
Yep.
It's the inconsistency that drives you nuts, right? And that drives coaches nuts. So at least he proved at a time or two. He got in the fourth quarter, he had a great defensive play against LeBron and got him on a double dribble or a travel call, mm-hmm. right? So I think that there is that. Can he commit? Like, if you commit to him, will he commit to you? Will he do that? And be honest with himself. If I want to play and I want to be, you know, and I want to be great, the commitment I really have to make this offseason is to the defensive end of the ball court.
Okay. So that's, you're willing to
yes.
ride or die with him.
I am.
With the belief that he will improve enough so that you get back to this level next year and he ends up being the difference maker that gets you over the hump rather than trying to go out and maybe find somebody more proven to be that third guy. And then, hey, if he continues to blossom, phew, now it's just an embarrassment of riches.
We're back.
But you're saying, nope. Stand pat and
right.
let him be the guy. Okay. I'd go out and get a guy. If there's somebody out there they can get, I know Bradley Beal's name from the Wizards has been bandied about. Now that's a proven score. That is
right.
a proven NBA score. If somehow you were able to get him alongside Murray and Jokic.
Don't you need a proven, based on their team, don't you need a proven NBA defensive player? Somebody who's really good on that end of the court?
Ah. You give me three dynamic scores.
I'll go to battle with that. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat. Boy, he wanted Vic Fangio fired last week. Where's he at now? That's next. By the way, just so you know, we're on top of everything. We just ran a promo for Monday Night Football that featured Patrick Mahomes. So just,
I mean,
so,
it speaks volumes to this team and like how much heart and determination that we have.
Always aware of our responsibilities. No, don't turn that down. James Merrillat can wait.
Always. For that.
Yeah, there you go. Hello, James Merrillat from 1043thefan.com. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. How are you?
All right, so if you were ready to fire Vic Fangio last week, where are you at with him now after that debacle?
Well, for the record, I was ready to fire him after the opener, so I'm now in week two of this this campaign. I'm still obviously on board. More and more people are joining the club and coming around to my way of thinking. And look, they're going up against, you know, Tom Brady and a pretty good Buccaneers team, but that team didn't dazzle me yesterday, and they've got Jeff Driscoll. So I get the deck was stacked against them. But guys, they were non-competitive yesterday. They gave up the block punt on their opening drive. The Bucs scored in less than a minute. They weren't 5 minutes into that game yesterday, and it was over. I mean, Mark, you had a lot of time you had to kill during that broadcast because there was never a point after that where Denver was in the game. That is partially due to injuries, but guys, it's also on coaching, right? Like the Niners have a ton of injuries, and I get that they were playing the Giants and the Giants stink, but they're on the road for the second consecutive week without a ton of guys. They score 36 points and don't punt the football with a backup quarterback, their running back gone, all sorts of injuries. So, you can get them to a point where you're at least competitive. All the people wanted to pass them orange slices for, you know, boy, they looked really good and gave it a good shot against the Steelers. That crew has disappeared after yesterday. And I'm trying not to be hyperbolic, but I've been watching this team for 40 years. Right now, I can't think of a worse Broncos team that I've ever watched. It's that bad. And a lot of that is due to the coaching staff.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Like, what do you do? Do you start firing people? Are you ready to do that? And what does that fix?
I don't know that it fixes anything, Mark, but I think it sends a message. Because I think part of the problem right now is this franchise that used to be Super Bowl or bust has turned into, hey, you know, as long as we go on the road against the Steelers and we hang in there and we give it a good old college try, that's good enough. And it just simply can't be good enough. So sometimes you need to send a message. And you know, will it fix anything immediately? Probably not, because it's not going to get some of these guys back from injury. But the reason I blame some of this or a lot of this or most of this on coaching is, you know, they continue to come out and run three wide all the time, despite the fact that they can't block anybody, despite the fact that their best wide receiver isn't there. They continue to insist to go in that with that formation. That being said, they still have, you know, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant, three guys that have gone in the first and second round in the last 2 years. They still have Melvin Gordon, who they spent a ton of money on. Their offensive line is intact. Now it's a problem that that's the group they picked, but it's intact. And they're awful on that side of the ball. They can't do anything. So that's coaching. Pat Shurmur has not been an upgrade over Rich Gangarello, who was the scapegoat last year, who actually was pretty decent with Drew Locke in the last five games. But he got the finger of blame pointed at him by Vic Fangio and company. And they have not improved on that side of the ball. Defensively, they're not creative at all. They don't come up with, you know, kind of exotic looks to create pressure. Fangio just goes with what Fangio does. But I love the spin of, well, it's the offense, you know, they're not putting up enough points, or, well, it's the injuries. Look, if your offense has to score 28 points for you to win, then you're not a defensive genius. And if you have to have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb on the outside in order to generate pressure, then you ain't a defensive genius. So, you know, figure out a way to come up with some new looks, some creativity. That team yesterday and that game plan yesterday was just plain simple and non-creative, and to me that's on the coaching staff. So yeah, long-winded way of saying I don't know what it fixes, Mark, but I don't know what it hurts.
All right, James, you're coming down hard on the coaching staff. Fine. One name that has not been mentioned in your diatribe is John Elway. All right, you mm-hmm. want a new coaching staff. Should John Elway be allowed again to hire another new coach, another new coaching staff?
No, he shouldn't. I mean, he's the guy who picked VJ over Kyle Shanahan. He's the guy that picked Vic Fangio when nobody else was picking Vic Fangio, right? And people say, well, who would you have taken? Well, I said Matt LaFleur at the time. Now, I get it. He's coaching Aaron Rodgers. But that team was not very good the year before Matt LaFleur got there. And look at the Packers now. They go 13-3 last year, the 3-0 this year. They won down in the Superdome last night against a really good Saints team. So, no, it's a little bit like, you know, past regimes up at CU. You only get to miss so many times on a head coach. You don't get to do it a third or fourth time. You know, I think John Fox was a decent hire. It turned out to be not the right guy for the job, but you know, at the time coming after McDaniels, it was, hey, get a grown up in the room. He was decent. Gary Kubiak was, you know, he's a really good head coach, but he's basically hiring his old roommate. And then the two guys he's hired since then have been unmitigated disasters. I don't think you get a chance to do it a third time. I like some of the talent they have on this roster. That's why I picked them to go 10-6, which seems like one of the most asinine things I've ever done, which is saying something. I like some of the talent on this roster, but at some point you don't get to keep picking the guys that get to lead it when you keep picking people that are in over their head this badly. And VJ and Joe Woods and Mike McCoy and Bill Musgrave and gosh, their special teams with Tom McMahon and Brock Olivo. It's just a bunch of guys that honestly, I don't know that they know what they're doing. Why would we trust John Elway to do this again? I would have a hard time doing that. And that's hard for me to say, but I would have a hard time trusting him to pick the next head coach.
All right. Hey, listen, man. Maybe lay down on the couch or something and yeah. Get a little rest.
Or like a cold, you know, washcloth on your,
on your forehead.
You're hot right now.
Right, yeah.
It's not even 7 a.m. on a Monday, guys.
I know. Pace yourself.
Three cups of coffee in. I'm ready to roll. Right.
Pace yourself.
Everybody.
There he is, James Maryland, everybody, from 1043thefan.com. Coming up, how did Mark do on his broadcast? And what did he learn from being around and talking to the Broncos over the weekend? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.